chapter 19, verse 28 to 41. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks in the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Thank you. In the Christian calendar, we look forward to two events, mainly. One is Christmas, of course, and the other is what is known as Holy Week or Passion Week. And it starts today with Palm Sunday. And the New Testament accords great significance to these events of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. In the beginning of his ministry, he operated in relative obscurity. He told people not to say anything when they got healed. But as the news of his power and claim spread, people began to flock around him, drawn perhaps into the thrill of miracles, unique preaching that they listened to. And they were there until he started to speak about extreme commitment. I suppose piercing your ear is a bit of extreme commitment. Except that it wasn't just a simple job like we have today. They used a big awl and it was left a big hole. But by John chapter 6, towards the end of his ministry, the crowds were mainly composed of people who were actually committed to him. There were, of course, those who opposed him to the point of violence, and they wanted to do away with him. And, of course, there were those even amongst his own followers who betrayed him, like Judas. Crowds are fickle, aren't they? We need to make our own minds up rather than follow the crowd. It's so easy to do. And we remember a couple of years ago, wasn't it, when there were riots in the country in different cities and across Britain. And how different people, once they started rioting, others got involved, and it's escalated so much. Jesus said, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them." and he will send them right away. Jesus just didn't decide to decide one day, oh, let's get up and go into Jerusalem. He prepared for it. He made careful preparation for his entry. This was a public display by Jesus announcing his vocation. You may well ask, well, why didn't he just get the golden chariot out? But he was fulfilling an ancient prophecy spoken by Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9. He gets them to get the donkey for him. You know, he still uses donkeys today. I can see about 50 of them here, but...
Sorry.
We tried to organise getting a donkey, didn't we? But it was too much of a cost to come out of church funds. Make a mess. When we want to honour somebody in our society, we talk about rolling the red carpet out, don't we? And a couple of times when I've visited London, I've been to Leicester Square where they do the film premieres, and I've seen the place where they actually roll the red carpet out for the visiting stars and so on. Sometimes they use them at weddings and various other occasions as well. And I'm pleased to see that the cake's coming along. But Jesus' red carpet was much more simple. They took their clothes and put them on the donkey. No posh saddles there. In Jerusalem, the donkeys are actually quite small, unlike others where in other countries where they're almost as big as a horse. And so it would have looked rather strange, Jesus riding on a small donkey, and I believe they trot rather quickly. And also people put clothes down in his pathway as a gesture of honour and celebration. Do you remember one English gentleman, Sir Walter Raleigh? He did the same for his queen. Say for walking through a puddle, I think it was. They also used palm branches, waving them and shouting. Like this. And they strew them on the floor. As this song we've just said. But in ancient Israel, hosannas were used in different occasions when there was significant victory. And these were actually called hosannas then, and they were palms. And as they waved them in great victory, they used shouts of acclamation. I've lost it then. But you know, if you want to create trouble with a crowd, all you have to do is to create false expectation. That's probably to some extent what happened in the riots in London and Manchester and throughout the country. That somebody had the expectation that things would be better, and they weren't. And so they rioted because they were annoyed, perhaps, that they couldn't get hold of the goods and live the lifestyle that they wanted, often without putting much effort in, like work. Jesus enjoyed the public gratitude, but as so often, the religious leaders of the day weren't happy. Tell them to shut up, they said. They wanted Jesus to tell his disciples to be quiet. They didn't like it. But he said to them, I tell you, if they keep quiet, even the stones will cry out. Such was his victory that even the animals, dumb animals, could speak and would have spoken if they hadn't have shut up. His victory was that this was the start of the kingdom of God, the breakthrough of the kingdom of God, not the start of a new small religion, but his rule extends over all the earth. They were blind and dumb for not seeing the works of God, even when they were done right amongst them, the miracles did explain them away, or say that he wasn't from God. The procession journey from the Mount of Olives to the city of Jerusalem, as the crow flies, is only a very short space. It's only about a mile. The hill, the Mount of Olives, overlooks the city, and in between there's a valley. So Jesus started on Bethphage, Bethany, which is at the back end of the hill, and they'd go round and up and then down and across and then into the city through these gates. So it took a while for Jesus to do that, even though it was technically only a short distance, and it would be along a thin beaten track. Going back to the donkey, did you notice that it was tied up? Sometimes I ask myself, are we tied up? Am I tied up with different things to do? We need to be set free, perhaps. For you to do anything for the Lord, we need to be set free. You need to have whatever binds you untied, so that you can be used for the service of the King. Why do we follow him? Is it because of the worship, the friendship, the fellowship, the preaching, or miracles? And we've had at least three recently. Little ones. Not so little. Some of them. Is it because of the radical teaching? The crowd shouted because they thought he had come to deliver them from the tyranny of the Roman oppressor. They thought he was going to set them free from Roman rule. But they'd missed the point. He hasn't come for that. He wanted to force the hand of the Jewish leaders, because they planned to kill him after Passover. We should always be wary of crowds. They shouted at his entrance to the city. They shouted like a mob for his trial a few days later. And they shouted at his execution. They considered him an imposter because he didn't overthrow those who they wanted to overthrow. He defied their leaders, priests and scribes, and he spoke against their religion, and he claimed to be God. If you notice the geography of it, he actually approached the city of Jerusalem from the east. And I just want to read you something from Ezekiel chapter 10. I can just find it. Hard to find Ezekiel. This chapter talks about the glory of the Lord departing from the temple. And it says, "Then the glory of the Lord departed from over the threshold of the temple and stopped above the cherubim. While I watched, the cherubim spread their wings and rose from the ground. And as they went, the wheels went with them. They stopped at the entrance of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the Lord, of the God of Israel, was above them. These were the living creatures I had seen beneath the God of Israel by the Kebar River. And I realized that they were cherubim. Each had four faces and four wings, and under their wings was what looked like human hands. Their faces had the same appearance as those I had seen by the Kebar River. Each one went straight ahead." At the time, Ezekiel was prophesying about the glory of the Lord, and he saw the glory departing from the nation as it had become corrupt. And later on in Ezekiel chapter 43, we read about the glory of the Lord returning to Israel, the temple. "Then the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. The vision I saw was like the vision I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and like the visions I had seen by the Kebar River." So here we have the picture of the glory of the Lord coming back through the same way it had gone. And I think this is what was happening here when Jesus returned by the east. And then the first thing he did when he came back, he went into the temple and overthrew the money changers and lenders. And then he said about his temple that it would be destroyed and restored again within 3 days. And he was talking about himself. So the temple was himself then. So I just thought I'd want you to see that, because it's a significant part. As we come to the end, I just want us to think about the significance of Palm Sunday. It was his triumphal entry into the city. And we saw the glory of the Lord, in a sense, returning to Jerusalem. But corruption he couldn't stand. And when he found it in his temple, he destroyed it, threw it down. Sometimes we need to look at ourselves and consider whether we have corruption in us in any shape or form. And we are human beings, after all, frail and likely to go off on tangents and fall from grace at a moment's notice. It's so easy, because, as they say, pride comes before a fall. And we think sometimes that we can be walking right and doing everything right, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, it can hit you and you wind up flat on your face, or falling away from God, falling from grace. So I thought we'd have a few moments of reflection about that, and then we'll get the children back.